Welcome to the Bethel Mennonite Church Sunday Worship Podcast, and thanks for tuning in. I'm Pastor Jordan Farrell, and alongside me today is Brian Miller.
Hello, everyone. It's great to have you listening in to become part of our Meta congregation today.
As we begin our worship time together, Brian and I thought it would be good to have a brief conversation about some of the plans for worship over the next few weeks. So, Brian, let's start with a stat and a question.
Okay, shoot.
Over the past month and a half, we've created 6 worship podcasts and a video for Easter, which is pretty wonderful. What are some of the plans for the near future?
Well, our worship planning team meets toward the middle of each month and plans services for the following month. So, for example, when we met on April 15th, we planned services for the entire month of May. And we've had this kind of planning rhythm for a number of years now, and have found it to be both good for nailing down volunteer coordination and also keeping it open-ended enough for life-giving, spirit-led influences to happen. Our intention is to stick with that approach during this current season.
As a pastor, I really appreciate being able to work with the worship planning team. It's a gift to be able to sit together and listen for how the Holy Spirit might be speaking to our congregation through Scripture. I've also appreciated working 1 month at a time. I find that it gives us enough time to pull together a lot of the different elements, and yet it's also a short enough time that we can be responsive to the ebb and flow of congregational life.
For the month of May, our plan is to stick with the podcasts and continue to observe the national and state physical distancing guidelines for large groups. We've heard some really good feedback from you all about the podcast format, and people are finding it meets a good portion of their worship needs.
Agreed. It's a great format that has a lot of strengths. It also has a few weaknesses, too. We've had a number of conversations about what we could do to make our congregational worship a bit more interactive. And one idea that's bubbled up to the surface through those conversations is figuring out how to scale up our small group ministry.
Yes, we've been working with a lot of good ideas about how to make worship a bit more interactive or, you know, more three-dimensional. If any of you who are listening have an idea on methods or formats for interacting together, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Many brains are better than one. Well, unless you're being charged by the pound.
One way we're trying to make this style of worship itself a bit more interactive is by including some call and response readings.
Well, that's actually what we're doing for our call to worship today. In the digital bulletin, there is a responsive reading listed for our call to worship. If you have the bulletin pulled up on your screen, read along with us. If you need to find a copy of it, Shelby sent it out on the Friday email a few days ago. Feel free to pause the podcast and find it if you wish. Or, if you want to just listen and receive the words of worship, well, that works too. Jordan, can you help me with this?
Happy to.
I'm going to read the plain text, and then all of you with Jordan can read the bold print. We'll close by saying the last line together. Our God, we gather to worship you, the one who creates all things.
For the gift of creation, we give thanks.
We gather to worship you, the one who brings salvation through Jesus Christ.
For the gift of redemption, we give thanks.
We gather to worship you, the one who sustains us by the Spirit.
The Spirit is with us, just as Jesus promised.
God's Spirit moves among us and gathers us all together.
God's Spirit gives us power and calls us to serve the world.
For the gift of your presence, we give thanks. For your strength sustaining us in time of trouble, we give thanks.
We worship you, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer.
Amen.
I'll be reading from Acts 1, verses 1 through 14. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up into heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So, when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and the cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward the heaven? This Jesus, whom has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers.
In our service today, we're going to hear a number of reflections from people in our congregation. They will be witnessing for us what they experienced during their time of service in one of our Mennonite mission organizations. If you've been part of a Mennonite church for more than a couple of weeks, I'm sure you've heard a whole alphabet soup of acronyms like MCC, MMN, SALT, VS, MDS, and others. It's sort of a rite of passage to know what all those mean, but it also tends to leave newer folks scratching their heads. Well, MCC, Mennonite Central Committee, MMN, Mennonite Mission Network, SALT or SALT, means serving and learning together. VS is voluntary service. MDS is Mennonite Disaster Service. We want to help people understand what it is to serve within one of our mission organizations. Hearing first-person stories of the impact that can be made through volunteering is important. Well, that's what witnessing is, telling what you've seen. In the podcast, you'll hear reflections on service from six different people in and around our congregation. You'll also hear the song, Will You Let Me Be Your Servant, through those stories. It contains a beautiful poetic longing to be an active part in people's lives and in God's kingdom around us. Well, since this year is the 100th anniversary of Mennonite Central Committee's Global Missions, after the music, you'll first hear from Jordan Penner, who is our regional representative for MCC.
Good morning, Bethel Mennonite Church. My name is Jordan Penner. Thank you for letting me be a part of your worship today. I work with Mennonite Central Committee, which is a global nonprofit that strives to share God's love and compassion for all through disaster relief, community development, and peace building in the name of Christ. I work with MCC out of Denver, but I'd like to say that my service with MCC began in my early years in Reedley, California. MCC's West Coast office is located there, and I would often be asked to give up my bed to an MCC visitor who might be there for meetings or to share with local churches about what was happening with MCC. I did not always sleep well on the couch bed I shared with my brother, but I learned lessons about being a good guest and host that served me well later in life when I served with MCC in a small Maya community in Guatemala, and after that, in 2013 to 2016, with my wife in Bolivia. Some of you listening know a lot about MCC, and others, I imagine, very little. MCC began 100 years ago in 1920 to send aid to Mennonites suffering the effects of World War I and the Russian Revolution. Feeding 25,000 people a day and supplying tractors to help these communities get back on their feet. But quickly we realized that more than just Mennonites were in trouble. We can look back now 100 years and see that we caught the fever of sharing with others in the name of Christ. Now MCC is an organization that partners with local community churches and organizations around the world working in relief, development, and peace, usually with service workers present for long-term service. For example, Bethel's own Martin family, who have served in the Middle East and Congo. The hundreds of workers we send to accompany our partners' work represent our desire not just to quote-unquote help, but to be in real, human relationship with one another. MCC is currently working in over 50 countries. It's important to say that while COVID-19 is constantly on our minds right now, hunger, violence, and poverty still create huge needs around the world. In fact, vulnerable communities that we work with are also more vulnerable to COVID-19. Even when not directly related to COVID, our existing efforts in water, education, material aid such as comforters, peacebuilding, agriculture, and disaster relief all in different ways help strengthen communities to face crises like this. In a sense, you could say that our goal is to make vulnerable communities more resilient. For instance, in the community of Mathare in Kenya, MCC and our partner, the Kenya Mennonite Church, have been working for 3 years on a project supporting mothers and children's health. Poor, dense, and without access to many health services, Mathare is vulnerable to COVID-19. But Judith Siamba, the project leader, set up 50 hand-washing stations and implemented social distancing measures before it became necessary. Their positioning in the community has helped create awareness and allowed implementation of measures that will slow the spread of the disease. In Bolivia, church-run education projects are repurposing to help their most vulnerable families suffering the economic impacts of the stay-at-home orders. Our partners have swiftly adapted to community needs. MCC's many projects in water, sanitation, and hygiene will also directly help communities to slow COVID spread. MCC's goal is that through our existing work accompanying these communities to respond to the needs on the ground with local solutions. Through these actions and relationships, we witness to our life-giving relationship with God. You are part of all of this. You can further support these goals in our 100th year by praying with us, by going to mcc.org and becoming a monthly donor, by making comforters and kits at home. And in October, come volunteer or just celebrate with us at the Rocky Ford Mennonite Relief Sale. Feel free to reach out to me at jordanpenner@mcc.org, and thank you for all you do to share God's love and compassion for all.
are pilgrims on a journey. We are travelers on the road. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. I will hold the Christ light for you in the night time of your fear. I will hold my hand out to you, speak the peace you long to hear.
Hi, we're
Ed
and Irene
Schrock, and we've volunteered in a number of countries, but one of the most memorable and rewarding was a trip to China. Friends Arnie and Carol Miller were on this trip also. We were a group of 17 to deliver 1.5 tons of Bibles to house churches in central China. First, we went by train to central China. Our personal belongings were carried in a backpack, and our carry-ons were full of Bibles. We presented ourselves as a group of tourists. When going through checkpoints, half of the group would go through while the rest were praying for their safety. If the Bibles had been discovered, they would have been confiscated. The available Bibles in rural areas were so few that churches would often have only a couple of pages. At the hotel, we met with the house church leaders, and the Bibles were transferred to their vehicles. This happened at night with much secrecy and prayer for their safety.
We then returned to Hong Kong for another load, which we took to Beijing. While in Beijing, we inconspicuously had communion in Tiananmen Square, which was very meaningful. It was Sunday when the group dispersed, so the four of us tried to find a church. Of course, language was a challenge, and after asking several persons as to where a church was located, we finally found one. The service had just ended, but the pastor met with us for prayer, and the five of us sang Away in a Manger. This was very meaningful to us.
I will hold the Christ light for you in the nighttime of your fear. I will hold my hand out to you, speak the peace you long to hear. I will weep when you are weeping. When you laugh, I'll laugh with you. I will share your joy and sorrow till we've seen this journey through.
Hello, my name is John Lamont. I currently live in Canyon City. And since 1985, I have had varying degrees of participation with Bethel, depending on where I was living. After learning about the Mennonite Central Committee, MCC, and their long, reputable history of working in many countries around the globe, I was determined to become a part of the organization. In 1988, I became a part of the MCC Somalia team. Unfortunately, the team was forced to leave Somalia in 1989, when escalation of the civil war made our positions untenable. In 1990, a fellow MCC Somalia team member, Ann Carney, and I were married. After we both finished grad school, we joined the MCC Uganda team as a couple. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 and 40, Jesus said, For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me water. Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. These words of Jesus are very important to MCC and to Ann and I as well. While in Somalia and Uganda, Ann and I were both involved in teaching sustainable agriculture, basic nutrition, hygiene, healthcare, and small income generation. One of Ann's primary endeavors was working with women's groups. During one of her presentations, Ann explained the importance of a balanced diet and suggested that eggs were not only a valuable commodity to sell at the market, but are also really good for your family to eat. Ann then showed the women one way to prepare eggs and had the women sample them. One of the participants who sold eggs in the market had never eaten an egg herself and got all excited when she got her first taste. She said that she was no longer going to sell all her eggs in the market and would be serving them to her family. One of the last big projects that I organized before leaving Uganda was to identify locally respected volunteers in a number of villages in our area, bring them to one central location, house them and feed them for a week, and train them to teach their neighbors many of the basics that we had been teaching. Our training team was an experienced and successful group of Ugandans from an area not too far away from the area that we worked. After some time had passed, I asked around to find out if the trainees were actually passing on to their neighbors the things that they had learned from the training team. I found out that not only were they doing so, but I heard glowing reports of how much the neighbors appreciated the information relayed to them by the trainees. Frequently, the seeds sown by MCCers do not bear fruit prior to their departure. Ann and I both understood and accepted that fact. So it was gratifying when we were able to see progress based on our efforts, especially when we left local teachers to continue in a similar vein.
Hi, my name's Ray Beggs, and I want to share a few interesting stories that I've been involved with Mennonite Disaster Service, MDS. One of the first things that I did is I went to Iowa when the Mississippi River was wiping out all of the Mississippi Valley. And in this experience, contrary to popular belief, sometimes it's the volunteers that are blessed. I was working in a home for Miss Judy, who had been a school teacher and a few years before had been in a horrible traffic crash. An impaired driver hit her and paralyzed Miss Judy from the waist down. Miss Judy would come in the home, her home that we were remodeling, sometimes a couple of times a day. And it was just like the sun had come out from behind the clouds. Every time she came in, she was just such a joy to be around. But the main story I want to talk about happened in Iberia Parish, Louisiana. This was after Hurricane Rita, which closely followed Katrina. And I was working in a home for a Miss Lynn. But one day we were told not to pack our lunch because another homeowner that they were working for, a Miss Janelle, was having a catered meal for all of the MDS volunteers. Miss Janelle's home had been completely destroyed, so it was a total new build. Her home was 16 feet up on pylons so she could get insurance, and she had provided a very nice catered meal for all of the crews working on three or four different sites. And after we'd eaten and I was preparing to go back to our site, I stopped to thank Miss Janelle for her hospitality and for providing the food. And immediately after I greeted her, and they're a very touchy-feely people, so I put my arm around her and thanked her. And she started to cry, big crocodile-type tears. "Why would you thank me? I should thank you. And I'm not working in her house." But Miss Janelle's story is that as an infant, she was baptized and had probably never been back into a church after that time. She had no church connection. And it offered an opportunity to tell her that Christ loved us, and so we were sharing that love with others. And that's why we were there to help. Now, I don't know the rest of the story, probably never will, but I do know that even up to a couple of years ago, Miss Janelle and the project director's wife were still corresponding, and Miss Janelle still had questions and was learning and was being told of the love of Christ for her. And that MDS's way of showing Christ's love. I thank you for your time and hope that sometime in the near future you can be blessed with a tour with MDS.
When we sing to God in heaven, we shall find such harmony. Born of all we've known together, of Christ's love and agony. Will you let me be your servant? Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too.
Good morning. My name is Mandy Cook, and I served with MDS, Mennonite Disaster Service, during the summers of 2007 and 2008 as part of my disaster management major at Heston College. What I really appreciated about that experience and that organization, as well as MCC, who I also served with through their SALT program a few years after that, is the focus on being a witness. Not by preaching or evangelizing or that type of thing, but more about serving and doing and being. With MDS, I was helping to rebuild homes and lives as well through physical labor, through being the hands and feet of Jesus. And as often is the case with service work, I got just as much, if not more, out of that experience than the people I was serving. I've talked about this before, but it always comes to mind when I read the scripture from Acts about being baptized not with water, but with the Holy Spirit. So one day I was sitting in a parking lot upset because I had to say goodbye to some very close friends that I had made, and I didn't know when or if I would get to see them again. So I was sitting there very upset, and I just felt the Holy Spirit come over me in the form of joy, with a capital J, and deep peace just washed over me. I was sitting in a truck by myself, laughing and crying like a crazy person, but I had a very visceral understanding that I was finally and forever okay. And of course, life gets in the way, and that feeling fades, but I was made aware of a deep well that I can always draw from. So that service experience was very much a milestone in my spiritual journey, one that I'm very grateful for being shown what it means to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit.
As you have heard through the witnesses from our community, we can make a real difference in lives everywhere we go. Our scripture today reconfirms that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Volunteers in these organizations are not serving as saviors. They are faithful servants, lending a hand to ease someone else's journey. In many ways, their service is crafted to facilitate the exchange of perspectives and the chance to build real relationships between very different people and cultures. And real relationships are the critical link that truly opens hearts or changes minds.
In your steps, you call me and I follow. In your steps, Lord, how can I refuse? For no matter where you lead, I know how much you love me. What a joy to simply walk with you. What a joy to simply walk with you. In your steps, a servant of your mercy, need by need, to all who come my way. For no matter what they say, I'll show your gentle kindness. Compassion, I will walk with you. In compassion, I will walk with you. In your steps, I'm watching and I'm ready. I am yours, so lead me out today. Lord, you gave your life for me, and I give myself for others. Every moment let me walk with you. What a joy, my Lord, to walk with you. In your steps.
Let's pray together. Resurrected God, in the book of Acts, you commission, equip, and empower your followers to be witnesses to your life. You invite us to be witnesses of Easter joy. Help us to receive your invitation anew every day, because at the very least, that is how often we need to be reminded there is more to life than the power of death. We ask, Holy Spirit, that every day we wake up, you would fill our hearts, our minds, and our bodies with your fruit. When we feel isolated and discouraged, fill us with your love, your joy, and your peace. When we feel the weight of grief, be it our own grief or the grief of our neighbor, fill us with your patience, your kindness, and your goodness. When we feel friction with others, fill us with your gentleness, your faithfulness, and your self-control. Lord, you are resurrected, you are alive, and your Holy Spirit is continually breathing life into the world. Breathe life into our lungs today, that we might be your witnesses. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we wrap up our Sunday worship podcast this week, I want to thank everyone who helped put it together. Thanks to Floyd Miller for reading scripture, Jordan, Irene, Ed, John, Amanda, and Ray for sharing reflections on their service experiences, Jody, Nathan, Jacob, Colin, Seth, and Don for music, multitasking maestro Brian Miller for being our worship leader and for working on the production elements, and to you all for tuning in. I invite you now to receive these words of blessing. As we go from this time of worship, may the blessing of the God of Sarah and Abraham, may the blessing of the Son, born of Mary, may the blessing of the Holy Spirit, who broods over us as a mother over her children, be with us all. Amen.